Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, we are back with another episode of Midnight on Earth. I'm your host, Jake Weaver, and we are here to bring you more knowledge, more light, and more love. We have an incredible guest today. Alobar Jones is here. He's an astral projector. He's an exorcist. He has so much going on. It's going to be an incredible interview. We're going to talk to him in just a second. But first, I need you to do something for me. Follow me on Instagram at midnight_on_earth. That is the address. You can follow me there. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you go to get your podcasts, click that button that connects us so you know instantly who's coming on, when they're coming on, and you can just download it. You have it. Get that notification. And lastly, tell a friend, tell someone that you know that loves these type of podcasts. You know what we're doing here. You know what we talk about, the love, the light, so much good information. You know who needs that, including all of us. We all need that, but you know who really needs that. Bring them here, midnightonearth.com. Okay, we're going to talk to Alobar here in just a second, but I'm going to read his bio. So here we go. Alobar has been an avid astral projector for the last 15 years. He has reinvented the art of exorcism, a deep form of shadow work, and has impacts in severe mental health issues. For fun, Alobar manages groups of astral projectors who fly against the cabal and their non-physical allies. Whoa, we're going to talk about this. His YouTube channel chronicles his adventures, and he's here with us today. Hello, Alobar.
Top of the morning to you, Jake. How you doing?
Great. I'm over here in Portland, Oregon. You are in where in Australia right now?
Byron Bay, Australia.
Okay. Well, thank you for meeting us early. I know it's early for you. I really appreciate you sharing your energy with us. It's really important right now.
I'm just glad to be here, glad to be getting the message out there.
Why do you feel like things are accelerating? What's going on it's important for all of us that have an awareness of this to take action. It seems like it's like that more than ever, but where is the acceleration overall coming from?
I think it's a pinch point. Like, I don't think it's a pinch point. Like, all of the different timelines, everybody's got their own game. You know, some people are really into hockey. Some people are really into football. But, you know, there's this group of Satanists who are really into abusing little kids. And, like, they've got to go. And all of the timelines are squeezing into one single timeline. So all of these other games that are going around, they don't get to – not only the compatible ones get to remain in existence. And, you know, those guys, they're throwing patties. They're cracking the sads because they don't get to play their ugly, ugly games anymore. And you're just watching them destroy as much as they can get their hands on the way out the door.
They're just trying to kick and scream, destroy, knock things over like a child having a temper tantrum. These low-frequency people that have been oppressing humanity, and it's more than just humanity that's helping them. But there's something going on, but it's ending, you're saying. It's coming to a pinch point. Why is that? Why is it ending now? What are the signatures of that?
Oh, look, there's a few, but I manage astral projection teams who are active in this space. All right, so all of us have we know that the forces of the universe lend themselves towards this at this time, right? But we're not taking a passive stance. Like, if you listen to Q, they'll tell you to trust the plan. If you listen to the Pleiadians, they'll tell you, sit tight. When all this is over, we'll come down in our ships and we'll rescue you. And all of these different messages are saying, do nothing. And that just makes me sick.
I agree.
If there's a revolution going on, I'm going to pick up my rifle and I'm going to take part in it. But the way that I'm best suited is through astral projection. And I'm very, very good at clashing with demons. I'm exceptional. In fact, rumors go around about my name. They know who I am.
They being the cabal and the demons.
The demons specifically, because they're the ones I'm after.
Alibar, I want to back you up a little bit because I want to help people understand if they don't know, just give them a very general description of astral traveling.
All right. So it's been called the spirit world, the Nagual, astral projection, all of that sort of stuff, right? But the skill of going out and flying around in the spirit world is rare. Like, not everybody knows it, but it's the backbone of being a mystic of any kind or a wizard of any kind. Now, what there were a few different schools of magic in Western Europe or in Europe altogether, but they've been exterminated one by one by the church. And so witch burning is how they got rid of Druidism, which was like the hedge magic, the nature magic that was so prevalent everywhere. And everywhere the church goes, they're working really hard to stamp out their competitor religions. And they did very, very well. So much so that in the West, we don't even believe magic is real. Anywhere else you go in the world, it's a natural part of life. Like, anywhere you go, it doesn't matter what country, what part of the world, they're doing it. But there's a very, very good reason why they're doing this, right? You see, there are a few ways that you can gain and hold power. And these guys set out to control the planet, and they needed a technological edge in order to hold it. So what is that technological edge? They used black magic. All of this sacrifice magic, all of this offering magic that these guys are involved in, they've allied with demon kind, and they'll make a sacrifice and they pay the demon to perform a service for them. The demon looks after them and gets the service done, and that's the alliance, right? And since there are no competing schools of magic out there, nobody's been able to stop them. There is no champion group to stop them. It might have been the Buddhists, but they're not doing it.
What about aspects of Freemasonry? I mean, it seems like there are good lodges.
Freemasonry is the art of the school of magic that Freemasonry is demonic. There are 33 levels of Freemasonry, which correspond with the 33 vertebrae. And every ritual that ascends you a level in Freemasonry is where they implant one more demon in one more vertebrae. And when they have a complete set of 33, there's no longer a human in there. The human is a passenger in their own body.
That's mindful. I've never heard that before, because I know that there are groups, at least, performing some sort of pushback against this. But the astral projection is when you're able to send your consciousness outside of your body in the spirit world to affect things in the material world, right?
Exactly right. Well, look, they've got this, the second Hermetic law. It made it into the Bible. You'll know it as above, so below. And the finishing of that statement is at so within, so without. So what's inside you is what you attract. There's the law of attraction. And then as above, so below, as things are decided on the astral planes, then they step down into the physical. Now, we've been countering their black magic with our white magic. And it's been so much stronger than anything they've been able to deploy. Like it's like we're driving tanks and they've got bows and arrows. It's a walkover. And it's just, but we're one of the few groups who have the will to do it. We've chosen to do that. And it's about, and I think it's about getting around this pacifism within spirituality, like turn the other cheek. Don't fight anything, like walk away from anger, like don't engage with this stuff. And I think that that's a planted philosophy, because it really corresponds with what Q is saying, like sit still and trust the program. Like one of their latest ones is get a box of popcorn because it's going to be really entertaining.
Look, I mean, just to stop you here for just a second, I think QAnon was always the CIA, FBI, activating this hive mind of people that latch on to these really, really, really loose connections that actually don't only make sense to them in certain cases. And it was never authentic. That was the thing. Like, the reason they were able to get all that inside information and have all these things correlate that did actually match up was because it was designed that way the whole time as a psyop, I believe.
Totally. Yeah, like there is no doubt whatsoever about it. What's really interesting is that we thought the same, our groups, we were discussing the Pleiadians. And we thought exactly the same thing about them. They're telling us to trust the program. They're telling us to sit tight and wait for the cavalry to come. But I thought, like, if they're really here, like that, but we tried to think about what have they done? What, name one thing that the Pleiadians have actually done for us. And nobody has any answers. And you know, it would be so simple for them to create a meditation program or a human empowerment program and then download it through any one of hundreds of channels, right? And then there would be a Pleiadian school of magic through which to counter the dark side. Great, right? But they've been around since the 80s with Barbara Marciniak, and nothing's come through. Nothing. They're not helping us at all. And, you know, and I think that they are a psyop too. And it gets even better because our group, we decided to have a little channeling session where we called up Pleiadian High Command. And we go, so there's two stories here. Like we've got your story that you're telling us and this is what we think. So can you marry these two? And they never picked up the phone. Pleiadian High Council never picked up the phone. This is where it gets really interesting, is that the one who intercepted the call, the one who got on the phone call, I'm so deep in mysticism, I don't think it's a big deal to do channeling, right? It's a big fat.
It's pretty common, right? In our world as well, my listeners and myself, just because we're all so immersed in it as well. It seems fringe for a lot of people, but once you know dozens of channels, like you're saying, it becomes second nature, it becomes normalized.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, but who picked up the phone? And this girl identified herself as part of the Pleiadian religious propaganda unit. She said that she had told Porky Pies to the spiritually underdeveloped locals on six different planets. Earth was her sixth planet where she had spread this sort of a story. Sit tight and wait for us to rescue you. With variations, right? Which means that the Pleiadians have a propaganda unit specifically to receive channels and to tell this increasingly ridiculous story that they're here to rescue us. The latest chapter is of med beds. But, you know, if they were really here to help us, then the med bed technology would be released as an open source technology yesterday.
Right.
Like, if they were really as good and kind and open-hearted as they keep trumpeting, then we would already have medbits. It would already be a common technology.
Patricia Corey, who was on the show recently, she's been channeling for like 40 years, and she said, she deals with the Syrian High Council, and she said, from her perspective, the Pleiadians, there are some low frequency ones that do the things like you're saying, but there are, because they still are an ascended race, there are some people in that Pleiadian bandwidth that are high frequency love and light beings. It's just not all of them.
Yeah, well, look, and we managed to get on the phone with a group of them just 2 weeks ago now. And the result was that we got legal protection from across the galaxy. Like, apparently our legal status changed, and it's going to be harder for the dark side to get for it to be legal for them to hurt us.
So I want to back you up a little bit, because I want to hear about the
I do jump from wild concept to wild concept.
That's okay.
I'm out there. Sorry.
I'll take it
back a step, and I'll ask some answer some precursor questions for you.
I'm loving it, but I'm making sure to just give a little bit of context. So I want to hear the origins of this astral group, because you're out there, you're saying fighting demons, you're fighting the cabal, this force, this anti-human force from that dimension with a team. How did you meet these people? Tell me everything about the beginnings and how it all started.
The great health crisis of 2020 kicked off, and I thought, here we go. These guys are horrible people, right? They're I thought we still had more time until they made their final move. As it turns out, we didn't. In Byron Bay, there's a lot of anti-government type people. Like, the strongest protests in Australia come out of here. And there's a group that met at the local community gardens, and we talk about what we're going to do about this drama that the government started. I collected half a dozen meditators there, and we started the group. We go, okay, so, you know, everybody here is into meditation and astral projection, so let's go and talk to Gaia, Mother Earth, and see what she wants to do. Has she got anything on the cards that she would like us to resolve for her? So, like, that's became the first thing we did. We started building protection nets around Mother Earth. We started changing the frequency or the flow of water in the pond of planet Earth. So we with these protection, that's the idea, is we would prevent the worst things from happening. Like, the frequency precluded the most terrible things happening. But that was the very, very early days. Since then, our groups have collapsed and come back together twice. So this is the third iteration, and also the strongest. I started a YouTube channel so that I could, for three reasons. One, that people know that there is a war, that this is actually a war. Like, they want to enslave humanity, and they don't mind how many they kill along the way. That's an act of war, right? Not getting that, please get with the program. Right. Two, that somebody is fighting it in the spirit world. And three, that we are recruiting. And the groups I have now, and I've got two American groups, an Australian group and a European group I fly with. And the groups now are so talented. I mean, the people we've got now are just the best. I remember sitting in the group going, there's at least 100,000 hours of astral projection experience in this room.
Wow. So, okay. So you have these groups. There's four of them all over the world. You brought these people together. You're saying this is the third time some people have left. The best have come back. So describe for me like one of these sessions. Like, how do you plan out like a mission? And then what do you do?
All right. So I went to, you remember that big day in 2012 that was the end of the world? Yeah, well, all of that came out of southern Mexico, where the they call themselves the Mayan time scientists. And on that day, and I went down there, and on that day, 11 out of 17 calendars clocked midnight. But I went down there, and I got to Mexico, and I danced in the ruins in the key ceremony with the Pope of the Mayan calendar crew. In a place called Palenque, which I've since discovered is the world's throat chakra. Like, the temple complex is 10 kilometers square. It's epic. It is the most magical place I've ever been, right?
Wow.
And so when we finished that ceremony, Gaia called me over to one of the altars and says, I dub thee a knight of Gaia. And I go, great. What does that job mean? It means I'm going to give you things to do. And I'm going to reward you for them. I go, cool, let's do that. Yeah. And so ever since then, I've been going out there and picking fights for Gaia. You know, some of it's been espionage work, some of it's been the straight military, but that's the kind of role that Gaia gave me at the end of 2012, right? And so I've been doing this solo for a long time. But 2012, I looked at it and go, nah, I'm not doing this alone. And so what we would do now is I would talk to a guy and I say, show me the most pressing problem that we can solve today. And so just recently, you'll love this one. This just in the last week, I asked, what's the best thing we can do? And she showed me an image of the pool of louche that they recover from child trafficking, all of the misery, all of the nasty, all of the negative emotion that they get out of being nasty to those little kids that they're trafficking. We found the bank account of louche, or the pool of that metaphysical material. And it was massive. It was massive.
So you're saying it's like they extract this psychic energy, spiritual energy, life force from the children, the innocent children that we know are being tortured and trafficked all over the world, and they're storing it in an ethereal way and eating it maybe for later or whatever they're doing.
It feeds their personnel. It runs their machinery. It's like oil or petroleum to them. Everything depends on it. And what we found was not necessarily just a bank account, but the vault where they store their gold, like all their most precious. Like, it would take a whole generation of torture to generate this much louche, and they did it. You know, that nobody's been stopping them forever, you know, for all of this time. And we found that, and we destroyed it. We destroyed the infrastructure they used. We killed all the demons that are part of working that. We dissolved all of the fuel, all of the louche, and we watched some of their machinery, some of their programs shut down immediately. We watched some of their plans like collapse in the absence of this material.
Wow! Because I've heard this from other spiritual people as well throughout my studying in life, is that, you know, they are storing this energy, they're eating it, they're harvesting it, but this is part of their disillusion process, right? We're ascending, they can't resonate with us anymore, and they're losing their power all over the place, including in these realms where people like yourself and these groups are destabilizing them. You're taking away their resources. And like you said, it's like a steamroll effect. Like, you have so much power in that realm.
Yeah, well, look, and humans are the most powerful, Earth humans are the most powerful beings perhaps in our galaxy. Like I'm not 100% clear, but you know, the Pleiadians, they just have a heart. The humans, we have three brains. We have a head, a heart, and a gut. Our head loves intellectual complexity and can dive in deeply into questions and resolve very challenging issues. And if you can use that well, you're probably going to be quite financially successful. The second one is the heart, which loves emotional complexity. And if you can dive into that sort of emotional complexity and you're sensitive to all that, you're probably going to have very good relationships. And the third one is the gut. And the gut is quite a primitive brain. It's not actually a brain. It's more of a plexus, which is an insect version of brain. And it it just says yes, no, do it, don't do it. And that's all it's good for. But what it does is if the heart gets too deeply involved in complexity, the gut pulls it out and goes, that question's not worth answering. Don't involve yourself in that. Or the mind. And the three of them together is what makes us so powerful. So the demons can play with our minds, but they can't touch the heart. They cannot penetrate that. It's a realm they do not understand.
Well, just they're lower frequency though. You're thinking the heart, it's love, it's light, it's like closer to source, like where they're at. That bandwidth just doesn't exist. But the mind, because it spreads through multiple dimensions, there are interface points.
Yeah. Well, like the mind can create facts for itself. It can justify anything. It philosophically can turn black into white and white back into black and then red into blue through a dozen different logical mechanisms. You know, it's very clever, but it also has no wisdom. It's dumb. It can do dumb things, but very cleverly and very adeptly and very technically, but things that aren't worth doing. For instance, the atom bomb. Like, that's not a good thing to make, but it's an intellectual challenge to create it.
Right. So these entities can influence the mind of weaker people, maybe haven't had spiritual experiences, or maybe they're in a place spiritually where they're kind of lower in how they're vibrating. And then that's where these entities can meet and influence, but nowhere near the heart. It's not even close, but
no, they can't touch it.
But there is a chance, depending on where people are in their life.
Yeah, well, look, and it's even the plot of an Isaac Asimov book and movie. It's called I, Robot. And in it, they build all these robots who've just got big brains, right? And they have a central AI that controls them all. But the story is of this one robot that gets a brain and a heart, and it turns out to be the hero that shuts down the AI and the control grid that it wanted to enforce.
Interesting.
Now this is the same situation for Earth humans. We've been tinkered with in dozens of ways over an unlimited period of time. There's nobody to prevent the genetic manipulation of Earth humans. And we have the missing link, which is about 100,000 years of development done in 500 years or something like that. So the fossil record says.
Right.
And and if you look at the human genome, then chromosome number 2 has all of the hallmarks. It has the structure, not of the rest of them. It looks like it's been genetically spliced. And that's in every human being. But what happened, if I'm going to just some conjecture here, I'm just going to paraphrase it here, right?
Sure.
So what happened is that the Anunnaki saw the chassis of Homo erectus. And they said, we can make these people into better gold mining slaves for us. So we'll add a few parts from our system, like we'll get the engine from the Anunnaki and the exhaust train from the Anunnaki. Then the Pleiadians come in and put in their A-grade carburetor. And the Arcturians came in and put the electrical system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And what you have is you have the Earth humans as a hot rod. Like this machine that we're riding around in, it has the best tech, the best parts from all of the different species all over the galaxy. And the body has integrated them all. It functions properly and we can breed still. Like the condition, what's happened here on Earth for us Earth humans is bigger than we know. And it's probably why Jesus incarnated here, because it's going to be the most interesting. And when he said, you can do everything I can do and more, he's not lying at all.
Now, absolutely. We can all activate that Christ consciousness, and it's active all throughout the universe. All of these other conscious evolved beings have their own version of that. They may have a different name for it, but they all activate that, because that's what really ties you in with Source and then takes you on an evolutionary journey that includes more 100%. Dimensions, it seems, right?
Well, look, you know, and this is when I say spiritually underdeveloped planet, right? Like, it's just like an economically underdeveloped country. And so I've used this analogy before, but I'll use it again. Now, the way that the relationship that Earth has with the rest of the galaxy is a bit wild and a bit weird. See, so think about a country like Cuba or Nicaragua are really good examples, right, where you have these big empires vying to see who runs that place, you know? Is it going to be the Russians who run Cuba, or is it going to be the Americans who run Cuba? And nowadays the Chinese are getting a look in all of these different places, right? And also these nations, they send a few different kinds of people, right? And I'll just use the American example because, like, the we know the names involved. So firstly, they send out Peace Corps kids who at their own expense just go and live in this country and see what they can make better. And then charities who are doing this stuff not for profit, but for profit, but not for profit. And then you have companies who want to do good deals where everybody wins, and you have companies that want to exploit them. And then you have, you know, government agents like CIAs and assassins and jackals and the mobster type government groups. And the whole spectrum of these different beings are sent to these underdeveloped countries to influence them and absorb them into their empire. And you have, and this is happening at the same time for the Americans, the Russians, and the Chinese now, right? For these different, and India is going to start playing this game pretty soon, I'm sure of it.
And you're saying we're like that with these other races.
We are like that underdeveloped country that everybody is vying for. Oh. When really us Earth humans are more powerful than any of them.
But who instigated the design then? The Arcturians, the Pleiadians, there's all of these people that came together to modify the Anunnaki, to modify the human. At what impetus? It seems like that would be a coalition decision. Like, you'd have these multiple races that are making a group.
I actually suspect it's not. And I think that these different parts have been added over a long period of time in different regions. So, look, you know, and I think the Chinese look different to the Caucasians and the Blacks, the Asians, Caucasians and Blacks and Browns are all sort of, you know, like, you get the blue people landed in India. Like, you know, you look at a picture of Vishnu.
Yes, and, the blue skin.
Yeah,
yes.
Right? There's a blue guy. You know, like, so, you know, you, now we know where the Avatar, the inspiration for the Avatar movie comes from, right?
Some people say those are Syrians, that they have the blue skin. I'm not sure.
Definitely, maybe. I'm far from an expert on Syrians. Like, I haven't seen those guys all year. I haven't been on the phone with those guys all year. For no good reason, I just haven't bumped into them. But they brought their own type of genetic manipulation. The Asians look a little bit different because of their type of genetic manipulation. Same with the Blacks, same with the Whites. You know, and you get these. And the perfect example is that the Pleiadians interfered with the Nordics, with the Scandinavians. And so they genetically manipulated all of those kinds of earthlings, and they made them all tall and blonde. And the official story is that if you hang out in the Arctic Circle for long enough, it'll make you an albino too, because you're reacting to that much sunlight, right? You need to absorb the sunlight in the winter month. But the Eskimos have been in the same environment for 10,000 years, and they still look like the Chinese where they migrated from. The Chinese went north into Siberia, and when there was a frozen land bridge, they crossed over into the Americas. Like, they still look pretty Chinese.
So it's pretty evident that there has been some genetic tampering. But then what happens as humanity, we elevate, we love each other so much. I mean, there's people coming together from all over the world and they're having relationships. And I mean, what happens when that just, we're and just this, a big genetic melting
where,
pot?
And I suppose this is where the Mustang and the Pontiac have their love child, which is still a hot rod. You know,
exactly.
I'm stretching the analogy a long, long way, right?
But I understand what you're saying. I mean, if we are in that way modified by different races and different regions throughout history, as we come together as one human family, the internet, I mean, everything's pulling us together. It seems that all of those different genetic strains would merge. And is that then the key of the human evolution?
I suspect so. Like, without being 100% clear, I deeply suspect that's the case. And whereas in the lab you might have difficulty getting, Mustang parts to be compatible with Pontiac parts, geez, this analogy's gone too far, right? In the lab you'd have difficulty getting that to work, but on the physical level, it just is. It's just working.
It's all really interesting how we show up as humans, because we did lose that history. We did lose touch with that, but it's hidden from us. Do you feel like all of that ancient information is still there, but it's been sealed up by the powers that are in power currently, the powers that be?
Oh, mate. No, firstly, they've lied about every major war, how every major war started since 1942, since Pearl Harbor?
Probably even right,
that we know about. Right? That we know about. The instigator of every war, they've rewritten the story so that the Americans are the good guys. Since in living and recent history, right? And we know that for sure. But how many hundreds of years have they been doing this for? How long have they been rewriting? Some Afghanis decided to blow up the Twin Towers. They had two planes that hit the Twin Towers, three buildings fell. But they just want to erase that third building story from history.
I know.
The terrorists were not Afghani, as it turns out. Most of them were Saudi. And blah, blah, and on the story goes. But the official fiction, the story that has been passed down through the ages is that... Is absolute nonsense. It does not bear any analysis.
Right. History's being rewritten before our eyes even now, and you're saying that you can look at all the events throughout history and most likely they're not accurate.
That's what I did my degree in, like international relations, history, and political science. Like, it's like governments just lie constantly. And I got to the point, like just constantly, and I got to the point where if you invert what the world leaders say, then you're probably much closer to the truth, right? And I'll use this one. I'll use this one where they're saying Iraq has weapons of mass destruction and is a threat to world peace. And if you invert it, what it says is we have weapons of mass destruction and we are a threat to world peace, which is much, much closer to the truth. Like. Yes. They're the one who started that war, so obviously.
Oh, we know this. Yes, it's so obvious. I mean, Gulf of Tonkin, Pearl Harbor, you could go down the list, but also there's other anomalies.
Like all of it.
There's other anomalies as well. I recently saw a little mini documentary about all the various things that just happened to be started in the 1800s, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. All of these universities, these cities, various industries, all of these things started in a very short bandwidth of time. And like, there was nothing before that. It's very interesting. We don't know what really happened because as things get manipulated and then the people that were alive during that time, they graduate, they die, then the information is truly lost. And all you have left is the modified fake version of the story.
Is the official fiction. Yeah. Like it hurts my feelings too, mate. It really does.
But you're fighting back against this. I want to talk about this more. You're actually out there. There's a war on the astral planes and you're in the front lines with these groups. Now, tell me about this more, because you're saying They know about you now. They know you're out there with these worldwide groups doing this. Tell me more about the effect you're having with these groups.
All right. So, look, one of the things we did is we looked at all of the world leaders who are pushing the Great Reset. We had a list of 33 leaders who are pushing the Great Reset. Billionaires, philanthropists, or I think philanthropist and psychopath mean the same thing these days. National leaders and not NGO leaders, right? And we astral projected, and we flew over and looked at these guys, and they say never make a deal with the devil, never make a contract with the devil, there's promises and agreements and contracts and like, but they all had at least two, not necessarily some more, of the most heaviest contract you can get into, which we call a dark covenant, where literally everything I am belongs to S and L, and you can figure out the names of who those guys are. S and L, like they're big in Christian mythology as the bad guys.
Satan and Lucifer for people that need those that guys. Little yeah, yeah. help. But no, it's obvious because you can see and the contracts that they're signing, it seems like they're the type of people that run to make those contracts. Can we add more?
We can even tell you what was promised to them to sell out the rest of their species. You want money? Great. You want girls? Great. You want fame? Great. We'll give you all of that. But you just got to sell out your species. Like, these are the kinds of people who are our, in inverted commas, leaders. And these are who have a price, and they wouldn't get into these positions if the price was not known and feasible for the cabal to pay.
So these 33 people that you kind of viewed in a way, they were the conduit to the demons and the other things that you're kind of against.
There's no human. The humans in these bodies, the human consciousness is a passenger. It's the demon who's doing all the hard work. In a few of them, we attacked. We decided to cleanse that body of all of those guys. And then the very next day, you hear an announcement of a backstep, of a step backwards in policy.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they go, maybe we won't do deeper lockdown restrictions. We're going to do a review about peeling them back. And then within another 24 hours, they're back on their would-be Nazi agenda again, because the dark side has reclaimed that human. It's obscene. What we were seeing was obscene, and it was more than we could handle. And so, but that was a mission profile generated by us humans. Like, somebody sent me a list, and I said, that's a good idea. Let's do it. Let's do that. And we attacked them all, and it was, as it turned out, a hopeless endeavor because, these idiots would just leap back into the arms of the demons again.
So you're saying you clear these people, some of these people that were just fully infested, you cleared them, and they didn't care. They're like, where'd my demons go? Wait, come back, please.
Yeah, probably. Where's my strength gone? Where are my allies? How am I going to do this without them?
God, I don't know what happens to a human when they fully make that choice, because at some point they were just like this cute little Christ consciousness baby, but then something happens that leads them on that path.
Well, look, so men accept no apples from women, all right? I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there.
We all choose to be here to learn these lessons. Perhaps they're choosing to be that being that becomes possessed, corrupted.
It's a free will zone. You can make whatever choice you want, but if you don't care, I have no idea what sort of price it would be, what it would take to sell out your species. Like, I cannot empathize with these people. But, as it turns out, they do know what they'll accept to sell out their species. They have an answer to that question. And I'm assuming there's some competition to sell out the species. There's some competition for those top jobs.
Oh, that's mind-blowing because you do get rewarded so handsomely in the temporal material sense, which is something that doesn't make sense to me, because these demons, they're astral entities themselves, even though they're in the lower bandwidth, they're outside of time and space. They know how the story is going to end. They lose, we win. Like, all of their works are pretty much like fruitless. Why do they even bother? Is it just like their existence, like their function? Like, it seems like a futile effort from the start, but yet they persist.
Well, look, and so my day job is to do exorcism, right? And part of that is to call that demon to the front of someone's personality, and then it will answer questions for me. It'll speak out their mouth and explain things to me and the client. And I ask them these sorts of questions, going, what's going through your head? He goes, and they're going, we don't know what else to do. There's nothing else we can do. If we will starve to death, the second we let go of humanity, our whole culture is over. Right, because and this is why, it's because humanity is connected to source, and we have an endless supply of fuel. Right, like source will animate our bodies and keep our minds running forever. Now, these guys don't have that. They don't have a fuel source. Their internal mechanisms and their internal makeup has disconnected them from God, and so they don't have any fuel. They don't generate fuel the same way that we do. So therefore, they need to parasite on something that has some fuel, and humanity is their target. Humanity is the species here that fits the bill.
So as we ascend, they won't be able to feed off of us anymore, and then they dissipate, but energy doesn't die. You would think it would transmute in some way, but in their own existence, from their own perspective, they think they're just going to die.
They're going to burn out. And there's also the other thing is that they've described themselves as the junkies of the universe. Right?
Like, that makes sense.
And my contact time with them, I can say their character is, that's about it. And I will also say, like, one of the services I offer, usually it's the parents want their kids to be de-addicted, and demons is what's causing it. You know, I've met the demons for ice and heroin and alcohol and weed and all of these substances. There is a demon lord involved. And, you know, it's their minions are in that person that compel them to get wasted all the time. So that whole scenario, I solved that question, what causes addiction? It's demons. And I can say it unequivocally, but if you want to know more, get in touch, get in contact. It's a sideline to what we're talking about. But they say, look, the demons only feel one feeling, and it's a low frequency feeling. It'll be anger, it'll be jealousy, it'll be despair, it'll be sadness, it'll be depression or whatever it is, right? And they only feel one feeling, and they're so miserable that the only thing that makes them feel any better is to soak up some human emotion, which is kind of like a drug for them. They get high for a little while so they don't have to feel miserable all the time. And that's their existence.
But what about other species out in the universe that are evolving like us in that same way? Maybe they're not as far along as us, and they might need those entities to fulfill a role for them for whatever reason over there.
Look, and I think that this is some more BS that has filtered into spiritual philosophy. Like, you know, I've looked under the hood of most religions. I understand the mechanisms, but I'm also one of the few light workers who has this much contact with the dark side. And I can say there is no balance to keep. That, like, the story of balance is a nonsense story that they created. And the other nonsense story is that every experience will teach you lessons, right? And I'll use this example, right? I can go out on the corner and sell my body, right, tonight, and I will have experiences and I will learn things from that. But are those lessons of any value to anyone whatsoever? Like, what? Who would say that that's a valuable thing to do?
No one.
But this is the kind of trauma and drama and sadness and emotional wrecking balls that people are expected to receive. as part of their, in inverted commas, spiritual development. You know, get slammed by the dark side because that'll make you a better spiritual person. Bollocks. It's just bollocks.
I totally agree. And I am very much against doom and gloom. That's just all negative energy. The fear, so many quote unquote spiritual metaphysical people are out there with these perspectives that are so dark. They're just like, oh, even though everything's made out of love, we know everything's made out of love. So there's only one possible outcome. This is just a process. And again, addressing to what you said about balance, people get caught up in that. And I just like to remind people that while that yin yang might be a universal law, as we ascend, as we evolve, it's like a musical scale. You have low C and high C. We jump up an octave.
Yin and yang refers to the third hermetic law, which is the balance between masculine and feminine. We see that picture of yin yang. It's about masculine and feminine. Dan wo hui shuo zhong wo hua, wo jidao nega danse yul shou mi isa. I speak Mandarin. I know what those words mean. It's masculine and feminine, right? And the... But it's usually used to describe the balance between good and evil, which is hermetic law number four, not number three. And so the yin-yang is often misrepresented to represent good and evil. It's got nothing to do with that story. It's there to represent masculine and feminine.
Interesting.
Shiva Shakti energy.
Yeah, I just feel like as we evolve and we raise our frequency and we keep going up an octave, an octave, an octave, however we define contrast can just be just under pure source. Like, we don't need to have the terrible things that are causing a pinch point, like we talked about at the beginning, the terrible things that are happening on this planet. Like, we need to burn that off. We need to evolve past that. You're saying that's happening, and I totally agree and believe you, but what else? Like, what else is happening that's kind of an indicator of this change?
What's happening is the demon lords, like the most powerful demons, regularly escape the planet. Like, they, what they do is they get enough power to actually jump off world and go somewhere else. And as soon as they have enough power, they do that. And then one of their lieutenants gets the big hat. And then he looks around and goes, look, I'm fighting a war I cannot win. I better just grab what I can and run for the coast, right? And it's just been happening over and over and over and over again. Like, so these, nobody wants, there are no generals per se left on the dark, in the dark forces. They've all made a run for it.
It does seem that way. So many people are talking about this right now because it does seem like there's a reaction, the fear, the different things that are happening, perhaps a new virus, whatever the cabal is putting out. But then that seems to be a reaction to the massive expansion, the acceleration of consciousness, the unbelievable amount of love energy that's coming through right now. That seems to be the most prevalent thing. And it's finally moving past what was there before, it seems.
Well, look, our teams looked into the future. Like, we looked, 50 years' time, this world is a paradise. Wow. In 5 years' time, the timelines, they don't actually have a pathway to win anymore, but they're cornered. So we have to destroy them the old fashioned way. And you can see this reflected in U.S. politics. Like, everybody knows who's guilty of what, but they're still in office because nobody's got the guts to go and arrest them.
I know. What a weird time, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll look in it. And, you know, you got to say, why would you hide the Epstein client list? It's because everybody's on it. It's like the judiciary. Sorry. All of the cabal go through Freemasonic training. And at level 20 in Freemasonry, you have to make a vow to cover up the crimes of your brother Masons. Does this make sense now in politics, why nobody's getting arrested?
Oh, absolutely. Because they're all on the same team.
Exactly.
But this is coming out right now, right? The dirt is rising to the surface. We know about these things. Everyone in the world, you could make the joke, Epstein didn't kill himself. You could literally be in like 30 different countries and everybody would know what you were talking about, which is so huge. Like everybody knows and it's rising to the surface.
Well, look,
tell me about this.
In the second and third world, the circus of politics makes it really, really obvious, like that something's not right, that corruption, that the story they're telling us has got nothing to do with the truth. But, you know, the US was insulated from that for some reason. Like, you know, everything looked normal up until, like, say, the last 5 years, you know, where Donald Trump, I am and I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I don't think he's our savior. I don't think he's a solution to the world's problem. And the cabal do set up people to be the savior. It used to be Vladimir Putin, and then it was Donald Trump, and the next one's going to be Elon Musk, who can save the world for us. And he's on their team, and he's saving the world from his own mates. Like, it's the most nonsense thing. I think Trump's that. But just watching Trump on his election campaign and watching Hillary Clinton just look more and more hideous, like the monstrous witch she is, like, you know, that was eye-opening. That was really eye-opening. How much the media pandered to, like, the criminal that Barack Obama is, like how they bent over backwards for him. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, he's involved in two wars. Let's give him the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, are you, like, this sort of ridiculousness was starting to present itself in the West as there's corruption under the surface. All of this has started to come through in the last, say, 5 years or so, right? Give or take. And it's a reflection of the black magic is not strong enough any longer to hold us in the spell, to hold us hypnotized, to prevent us from seeing the truth.
Now, why is that? Why was it able to hold us before, but now it can't? Is it just our ascension, Earth's ascension?
I would say it's Earth's ascension, you know, but yeah. And look, whether or not Earth can do it on her own, I'm not. That would be great if she can do it on her own. But, you know, I've got nothing better to do than help out. We're going to give the whole situation a push.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we were talking about at the beginning, just taking action, the importance of taking action in this time. And action could be as simple as just being more loving and developing yourself more. But for people that feel compelled to take another role, now is the time, you would say.
Everybody can think of one thing they can do, right? And when your grandkids are asking you, so what did you do in the Great Revolution of Earth? Oh, I trusted the plan. I sat back and waited. I got popcorn to watch the show. No, you figure out what you can do to help this effort and then go do that.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't, whatever it is, you can dream it up. It's all up to you. Like, I'm, you know, like, just the big secret is everybody's making it up as they're going along, you know, and I'm no different. Like, I just thought, wouldn't Earth be better if we had like astral vigilantes? Wouldn't the Earth, you know, like, or a Jedi Council, you know, that's who we are now. But after the revolution, I think we're going to be a Jedi Council.
You'll be rewarded for the incredible work that you've done behind the scenes, fighting these demons.
Yeah, totally, totally. All I really want is a base to do more of this work, you know? We did one action. We did one action that had and we were the first ones to do this action on a galactic scale. Like, you know, these guys are invading a number of other planets, and there's a number of other planets that have the same problems that we have. And we did one thing. It was a big deal. And we got petitioned by 190 other planets within a week to come to their planet and do it for them.
Wow. Interesting. So they're contacting
because we are the hot rods, because we are the most powerful beings in the galaxy, we can do this. And we're the first ones to break the seal on this. And so we got petitioned from 190 other planets to do this. They said, and I just sent back a letter going, we're busy with Earth, but, you know, we'll get back to you. But, you know, like, what I'm saying is, when Earth's independent, now we have something to trade.
Yes.
We have a service that the rest of, you know, that at least 190 worlds need perform. And I don't know what we're going to get out of it. I don't know what they're going to offer us, but I'm sure it's going to be entertaining. I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Service itself is amazing. You're out there in the universe and you're meeting these races. We're going to be purging them. They need our help, you're saying, because of the fact that we are cross-pollinated. We have all these different parts, this different energy, and that gives us the ability to fight back in the ways these other races cannot.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, Earth is going to be important in galactic politics for the next, you know, I don't know, maybe 100 years, 1,000 years, who knows?
Yes, it does seem like our ascension process, after it kind of comes to fruition, the next step would be our role as ambassadors in love of love and light out in the universe and helping people purge these demons, because this energy, this Luciferian energy, whatever you want to call it, whatever name
there's
you want
to
slap
on. There's no reason to accept or tolerate it whatsoever.
No, we have to push back on it. That way the entire universe can ascend. We have our ascension. We purge those frequencies. We then have to work to purge them from the entire universe.
Then we've set the example that the entire universe can follow. There's hope for a lot of these worlds that have been that are under attack or have already been subsumed by this great evil galactic force, by this empire.
Wow. My God, Albert, yeah. This is incredible.
So we're going to be busy. My point is we're going to be busy. And I will also say, if we are always recruiting, right? Like, if you've done 10,000 hours of astral projection, come and join us. If you've got some years under your belt, look, the stuff I'm talking about is really high level, but you just need to be able to look after yourself, and there's no education like it, what we're doing. There is no substitute for what we're learning as we go through this. Right? Like I said, we're just making it up as we go along. But the beauty of the teams is that nobody gets hurt. Like, we're all, if something goes wrong, there's a number of talented people around you who are willing to help you out of that hole, out of whatever happens to you.
So if you're a sensitive person, you've had astral traveling, you've kind of got a hold of that, developed some skill, people should reach out to you because you are recruiting. And then will you help them learn more how to develop that and be more effective?
Absolutely. You'll pick up so much from these missions. The kind of problems you'll solve and the kind of resources, like the mental and internal resources that you need to apply to them, are huge. And if you don't get it, we'll show you what to do. And I also run courses that take you from zero to the tippity top of the game. And I have graduate students who are flying in our mission teams regularly.
Yeah, so exactly. You talk about that on your website. You want to take people from zero to wizard, like fully trained. Do you feel like you have the information, at least you can teach people enough to get them there?
Yeah, totally. Like, and I, like one of, in the old days, I had a student, she graduated, she learned everything I had to show her, you know? And she was German and she traveled a lot. And everywhere she went, like somebody would make the note, the joke, Nazi, 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 ha ha, kill all the Jews, ha ha ha. And she hated that.
I'm sure.
Not surprisingly, right. but she had the skills to choose to do her own thing to make a change in the world. And so she chose to delete Nazi war guilt from collective consciousness. And she set out to do it. And I told her to pace herself because she will burn out. And then she did. But she got about 1% of the entire sentiment that the whole globe has about Nazi war guilt. She reduced it by 1% before she burned out. If she had had a team, it wouldn't be a thing anymore. If she had a group that she did this with regularly, that story would be over.
Interesting.
Yeah. But my point is, I'll teach you to that level where you can make changes to the world and make it a better place. If you decide to fly with our teams, that's great. If you don't decide to fly with our teams, that's great too, whatever. But just go out there and do something good for everybody. That's my request.
Oh, okay. So really it's about your training people, but if they do, choose another path in life or whatever, at least use that energy, that training to help
humanity.
Yeah,
just call me up at Christmas and say hi, you know, sort of thing.
Or just use it to help somebody somewhere, right?
Totally, totally. Look, and if all of this warfare and combat jazz isn't to your taste, right, we have a long, prolonged units on medical intuition and dimensional structure, which is, and those two things are incredibly valuable no matter what you want to do. Like the structure of dimensions and how the physics of the non-physical world works. Like it takes a while to get your head around it, but I'll hold your hand through the process and show you exactly how it's done.
So you're saying you could train to kind of work on that aspect of ascension and helping humanity just work, cleaning up the structures, strengthening it where it needs to be strengthened.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, and it's like, if you see a problem, it's your job to fix it. Go for it. Good luck. Right. You know, that's, and you know, everybody's got their own brain. Everybody can create their own objectives.
Interesting.
And this is what human independence looks like. We don't have anybody ruling over us. There's nobody coming to rescue us. There's not our galactic friends may not be our friends, right? Human independence is about us deciding what we're doing and then going and doing it. That's it. That's what human independence looks like. There is no other formula that works.
Because we have the power. We have all the power we need to correct all of the imbalances on every dimension ourselves. We actually don't need that help because we're so connected to source.
Exactly. Exactly. Our pipeline, to another way of saying it is our genetics create a pipeline to source that is so wide, there's more juice coming through than we know what to do with.
That's so beautiful. Well, it's good that we're this time now. Like we're here helping people the best that we can. And it's interesting to be in this time now to see this shift. What do you think about that? To be that you're here now in this time, watching one world shift into another and you're in the middle of it.
My focus is on just the next step. What is the next thing we got to do? What is the next thing we got to do? Like, I do want to step back and like look at the big picture and see how far we come. But like, let's just make sure that the job is properly completed, that we don't miss any steps, that everything is done right. Because like when Earth's independent, when we switch the big machine on, like I hope everything fucking works.
And I hope we've cleaned out everything, but I think we will because it is our destiny. Though free will is very valid and it is a very powerful force, it does seem like the Earth itself is evolving.
Humanity has made the choice to not have an AI control state, you know, an AI control
I think
world.
So
the
as
choice
well.
Has been made. And so, you know, and Klaus Schwab was in Davos in January and he the first thing on the agenda was how do we regain public trust?
I know.
That'll never happen.
No,
never happen.
And yeah, I'm never eating bugs.
Bond villain.
Yeah, that guy's evil.
Like nobody fits the Dr. Evil better.
I will not eat bugs. I will not eat bugs unless I'm like starving in the desert and there's like nothing else. I will not eat bugs. I will be healthy. I will realize that life is abundant. Source is abundance. We can manifest anything we want.
We don't need to reduce the population on Earth. It's mega abundant here. It's just hideously mismanaged.
Grossly mismanaged. And it's fully regenerative and also will be out there in these other planets as well. It's like people are always thinking in the short term, they get fear. They feel like if they follow these certain factors that they can change the weather, like humans have that power. It's a very strange time, man.
No, it's and all of the weird stuff that you hear, like and the conspiracies are getting wilder and wilder because all of the easy ones have turned out to be true. They turn out to be factual, right? But like the historical ones, something worth looking up is the Empire of Tartaria, which is a fascinating study, which asks so many more questions about the erasure of history, about technology levels we used to have. you know, buildings, when they're built in a certain way, they generate their own electricity. Like, it apparently it's real. Apparently we still have some from this old Tartarian group. But, you know, like, the deeper you dig, the more fascinating this stuff becomes.
Oh, my God, absolutely. And it just shows you that with all of this information coming to the surface now, the good, the bad, the ugly, it only points to massive change. No matter how you want to define that change, it's unstoppable. Yeah. That an unbelievable massive change for humanity and Earth is just right around the corner.
Okay. And this has happened before. Right. The Reformation of the Church happened when that monk, what was his name? No, Martin Luther, because I keep getting, we had a quiz night and somebody couldn't understand the difference between Martin Luther and Martin Luther King, right? And I'm still in my mind that one, right? It's still confusing me this day. But Martin Luther made some complaints about the church. He was not the first monk to do so. In his time, there was another one called Jan Hus who was fighting wars for the Reformation of the Church. What did Martin Luther do differently? He used a technology called the printing press, and he shared the date. He was able to share the real Bible that's not mitigated by a priest. He was able to print flyers saying, this is a problem. The lies the church is telling is a problem. People learned to read because books became so much cheaper with a printing press. And immediately once that information got out, once that skill of reading and writing got out, the church's dominance of Western Europe was over. It was done. It was over on that day. And we are in a phase right now where astral projection and spiritual knowledge has exactly the same position, exactly the same effect. Our revolution is what is bolstered not by bad feelings or by marching in the street. It's by using this new technology, this new consciousness technology, and moving forward into the new era where everybody is psychic. Homo psychicus is the next step. And when that happens, it's impossible to lie to people. Right? If you want to lie, they can look into the future and see how this thing's going to play out. If they can do that, then nobody's going to play with dishonest people. Right? Nobody's going to do business with people who lie or steal or cheat or anything. Nobody's going to know. Why bother? Why bother getting integrated with them at all? The game is over. And a new era of fantastic loveliness is ready. It's just ours for the plucking.
I just love how you said that. We're utilizing this new technology. It's ancient technology, perhaps civilizations that are gone now. Maybe they utilize that, but it's coming back.
We have this mythology of people who know how to use this technology. They're called wizards.
Yes.
And they're dotted through history, and they start religions and they freak people out. Nobody knows how to deal with a wizard. Why? Because he's got a technological edge on you, right? Like, and once we have that, the world will be a wonderful place. Our natural human instincts to love and care for each other and live in community will be able to be expressed because there's nothing interfering with it.
Yes.
We kicked those guys out of town.
And would you say that's the 5D reality? People say 5D, 7D, but this new earth that we're moving into, is that what you're describing?
I'm really confused by 5D and 7D, right? I don't know what people are talking about. Like, people say it and it has as many definitions as the people who say the words. So I don't know what to mean. I don't know what I'm talking. I won't say that stuff if I don't know exactly what I'm talking about.
But this new earth.
Paradise. I'm talking about the paradise on earth. Some people describe it as 5D.
Yes, and the new earth, essentially, this new earth that we're moving into.
Well, look, we're humanity first earth. You know, like, it sounds weird, but
Ah, but this is all part of our story. This is all part of what we all signed up for. There was chaos. There was other free will choices that changed things. But at the end of the day, we were all meant to learn certain lessons, maybe not the atrocious ones, but definitely some of the good ones so we can evolve and be out there as light beings.
Well, and that's the only thing to do. Like, we know that all physical and all temporal things, you know, don't last forever. But your spiritual development does.
Yes.
You take this, you know, the only thing that lasts forever is just, you know, you can't take all this stuff with you to the grave except for your spiritual development. That's the only thing.
Yes, that information. That's all you can carry, that energetic information. Alibar, we've had a great conversation, man. I love talking with you.
Yeah, look, you know, I don't know if I've chewed the listener's ear off enough already.
But no, we've had a fantastic conversation. I want to tell people where to find you. So alobarjones.com is the website. A-L-O-B-A-R-J-O-N-E-S. Alobar Jones is the website. He has distance healing that he does there. He has trainings that you can learn about there. Go to that website and you will learn more about what he's doing. If you want to be recruited. He's talking about recruiting astral warriors, light warriors to fight for us. If you're feeling that and you want to be a part of this, reach out to Alibar through his website.
I can't wait to meet you. And we're going to giggle our way through destroying humanity's enemies. It's the best. It's the most fun you can imagine.
I bet. You know, it's high frequency love-based activity. It's fun. You're fighting for the light. It's very fulfilling, I imagine. I guess that's the word I was looking for. Very fulfilling.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning and go, yeah, I'm doing something good. I'm doing something.
Well, thank you so much for being here, man. We've had a great conversation. I'd love to have you back on. We can talk again.
Total pleasure.
Before we go, though, is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, may the force be with you.
I love, yes. All right. Well, fantastic, Alibar. Right. Please hold through the outro music. And everyone, Alibar Jones, if you're feeling this, go to his website. You can check it out. Obviously, Alibar and I could talk for hours, so we're definitely going to have him back on. So look out for that. And of course, we will see you next week, midnight on Earth.
Love to you all. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.